RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
What up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. Good morning to you. Monday, August 12th, flying towards the return of football, the return of our normal programming, not our summer programming, our normal friends, everything we love about this radio program. A special week, we'll be giving away tickets to see the Richmond Flying Squirrels all week long. I've got tickets to the Tuesday, September 3rd game against the Akron Rubber Ducks. We'll be giving those away later this hour. We'll do that. That is Patrick Bailey Bobblehead Night. We'll be answering important questions on today's program, like who is Patrick Bailey, why does he have a bobblehead, and how can you call in and win tickets to get that bobblehead. Commanders preseason over the weekend at 10:30. I want to go deep on that. I took some notes, got my notepad out, took some notes during the game. We'll get to that. Of course, Jerry Jones said things over the weekend because it was a weekend, and so he made comments about CeeDee Lamb. We will dive into that, of course, the full baseball update. And in a few minutes, I will get into the Olympics. We will wrap up the Olympics. Great Olympics. Truly gave us everything we wanted. Ended with a pair of thrilling basketball games over the weekend. So, when we left on Friday, if you had given me odds over how we were going to lead off this show on Monday, I probably would have said Commanders preseason is in pole position. Certainly the Olympics had the potential to make some noise. You know, I love this baseball chase between the O's and the Yanks, and we'll be following that. We'll get to that. Those would have been my three in that order. NASCAR would have been pretty far off the board. I love NASCAR. I've said this on many occasions. If you've never been to NASCAR, you need to go to NASCAR. It's very, very different in person, and it's fun, and it's a good time. But I didn't think NASCAR would generate the kind of story that it needs to generate to crack through a busy sporting weekend. Well, NASCAR rolled into Richmond Raceway last night, and boy, was I wrong. Here's what happened. NASCAR. You're not supposed to crash the other cars, but you can bump the other cars. All right? That's an important distinction. Rubbing is racing. That's okay. Wrecking's not racing. Wrecking's bad. Here's the other thing about NASCAR. And I believe Ricky Bobby said this first. If you ain't first, you last. And in the NASCAR system, the top 16 drivers make the playoffs, but if you win a NASCAR race, you get to jump into the top 16 automatically. So that's where we find ourselves last night. One lap to go. Joey Logano's winning. Joey Logano, popular driver, very good driver. He's good. He's a top 10 driver. I think he enjoys winning. I think most drivers enjoy winning. Doesn't need the win. He'll be in the playoffs. He'll be just fine. In second place, we've got Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon is 30th. Out of the 42 drivers in NASCAR. That's not good. He's not going to make the playoffs. He's not doing much of anything. So Austin Dillon's in second, and if you finish in second in the NASCAR race, that's like winning the steak knives. Good for you. Whatever. But if you finish first, you're in the playoffs. Let's hear it as it was heard on 1140 on the Motor Racing Network. Here we go to Richmond Raceway. Final lap, final call.
Joey Logano leads back to three.
Here comes Austin Dillon. He gets in the back of Joey Logano. Logano spins to the bottom. Denny Hamlin, he gets collected by Dillon. Checkered flag is out. Austin Dillon wins in a thriller in the Cookout 400.
Now we're cooking. That's the jumbo tray right there. So if you're keeping score, Austin Dillon, 30th overall, wrecks Joey Logano. Just kaboom. Sends him into the wall. Thanks for playing, Joey. Have fun. Better luck next time. But as he wrecked him, his car slowed. I don't do physics, but his car slowed. Denny Hamlin, the pride of Chesterfield County, passes Austin Dillon. Now he's going to win the race. So Austin Dillon's like, spins Denny out too. Knocks out two cars. Takes care of business. All right. I'm sure everybody reacted calmly and reasonably to this. Let's check in with Joey Logano, who was supposed to win last night's Cookout 400, but got pushed into the wall by the 30th place driver.
It's chicken shit. There's no doubt about it. He's four car lengths back. Not even close. Then he wrecks the 11 to go along with it. And then he's going to go up there and thank God and praise everything with his baby. It's a bunch of BS. It's not even freaking close. I mean, dude, I get it. Bump and run. I get it. I didn't back up the corner at all. He came in there and just drove through me. It's ridiculous. That's the way we race. Unbelievable. I get bumping runs. I do that. I would expect it. But from four car lengths back, he was never going to make the corner. And then he wrecks the other car. He wrecks the 11 to go with it. So what a piece of crap.
So what's fair game moving forward? How do you race him? Next week or in the playoffs?
Wait and see.
Ooh, wait and see. Let's go. I think the most underrated part of that, look, obviously Joey Logano's mad. He was going to win the Cookout 400. He was going to get the jumbo tray. He was going to get the nuggets and the quesadilla and the cookout sauce. And instead, he's in the wall, and he's got to call AAA to come get him towed into the garage. Here's the thing. He goes, and I'm sure Austin Dillon's over there thanking God and his baby and praising. You know what? This is eerily accurate because at that moment, here is Austin Dillon in the winner's circle.
I hate to do that, but sometimes you just got to have it. And I got to thank the good Lord above. It's been tough for the last 2 years, man. And I care about RCR and these fans, and my wife, and this is my first for my baby girl. It means a lot. I hate it, but I had to do it.
You can see the emotion for you and what this means to you and RCR. What did you say to yourself going down the backstretch? What were you willing to do to put it in the playoffs?
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Woo! That's so good. That is so good. The baby girl and everything. I mean, just the works. Got the whole thing in right there. I love it. I love it so much. Rubbin's racing. Those are the rules.
He expected it.
Reckon's not racing, though.
That's not racing.
I don't know how any of this works, right? Sometimes you go out to NASCAR, because I've covered NASCAR many, many times for the newspaper, and either things go normally, and you write the story and you go home, or things go abnormally, and you try to figure out what the heck's going on. This is clip five. This is Elton Sawyer. He is the senior vice president of competition at NASCAR. So he gets to decide what's rubbing and what's racing and what's not okay. They gave the trophy. Everybody went home. Here's what he has to say about what happened.
Yeah, you know, you talk about crossing the line. And I would say that, looking at that, we were right up against the line. We're going to go back. We're going to look at all the video. We're going to listen to the audio. We're going to gather all the information. We want to make the right decision. Obviously, it's the last lap. Our sport has been... our DNA has been for years to be aggressive, but we just got to make sure that we're doing that in the right way. And we'll download this. We'll look at it and make sure that going forward, everybody has an understanding of how we're going to race. And if we see something that rises to a level, then for sure we'll penalize.
They're going to go in the room with whoever's deciding if Jordan Chiles gets a medal or not. They're going to take their sweet time on this one. We'll get back to you on Tuesday. We just raced. It's Sunday night. We're under the lights. We'll get back to you on Tuesday with what we think about this. Don't rush it. It's like the the new first down reviews in football. Let's all take our time here. We got a couple days. We wanna listen to MP on the mic, see what he has to say. We wanna really scour social media.
Gather that info.
I'm just a guy sitting here. I'm just the senior vice president of competition. What do you expect me to do? Issue a ruling right now?
Sounds like we're expecting too much.
I get back to you on Tuesday. Tuesday! Get back to you on Tuesday. See, it seems like we got a lot riding on this here, personally. We got to hear from Denny Hamlin, too, because, one, he's the pride of Chesterfield County, and two, he could have won the Cookout 400, but he ended up in the wall as well, so he's probably also not happy.
Where's the line, Bob? I mean, that's the thing, is we have rules against, you know, to prevent ridiculous acts, but, you know, it's been a long time since those rules really have been enforced. I mean, didn't Lane Riggs spin someone out and get 2-lap penalty or some bullshit? Like, this is, you know, it's tough because this is what the young short track racers see, and they think that this is okay because they watch the professionals on Sunday that are supposed to act like adults just do dumb shit, and it's just amazing that it's allowed. I mean, but I don't fault him because he's completely desperate, right? He's 30th in points. He jumps 20 spots in points or whatever the hell it is. It's his season saved. Now, he'll have to pay repercussions down the line for this, and, you know, but it's so worth it from his standpoint because there's no guardrails or rules that say don't do that, and there's no one in the tower that has any problem with it. So we're never, ever going to get taken seriously as a sport because we have no real officiating.
Woo! There is real officiating, Denny, and they'll get back to you on Tuesday. They're gonna take their sweet time and figure out what happened. NASCAR. Look, it's not as popular as it used to be for a lot of reasons. One is there was a big old NASCAR bubble, late 90s, right? Like Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon, you know what happened. Like all those people, it became too popular. Formula One's there right now. Formula One is not long-term sustainable as a popular sport in America. Soccer, not a bubble. Soccer can grow in popularity. Women's basketball, not a bubble. It can become more popular. Formula One, NASCAR, some of these fringe sports, those are bubbles. NASCAR bubble popped, and they're trying to reclaim that. Also, though, back in the day, they crashed, like, all the time, and it was cool. And it's really safe now. And I don't want to be Mr. like Killjoy here, but it got safe, they quit crashing, and when they do crash, it's not. I mean, like, I do better on 95 than they do when they crash. Yeah, you see better as driving down the road. I'm not saying, like, bring back people getting injured or dying. I'm just saying when the crashes went away, it became a little bit less fun. That was fun. The part where they all crashed, and then the desperate guy won, and then everybody's mad, and then Denny yelled, "Where's the line, Bob?" which is fantastic. That's a great clip. We didn't even need the whole man. Where the line, Bob? I don't know, Denny. I don't know where the line is. Joey's going to go up there and thank Jesus and is full of chicken ass. Yeah, that's how you do it. That's a race right there. That's a Cookout 400. Best Cookout 400 ever. I'll say it. I got the guts to say it. Best Cookout 400 ever. And we'll get back to you on Tuesday with what's up. We'll let you know when they let us know. On Tuesday, because we'll get around to it. Speaking of, Jordan Chiles may or may not have an Olympic medal. We'll wrap up the Olympics. I want to get to the basketball games because they were very, very good. Also, Tom Cruise is looking a little rough. I think we need to acknowledge that as a country. And we'll do that on the other side of this break. Off and running, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. A fond farewell to the Paris Olympics, which treated us well in this barren desert of sportingness that is late July, early August. Gave us plenty to talk about, gave us a big finish over the weekend. We'll wrap up our Olympic coverage, although we're sticking with this until Jordan Chiles gets her medal or doesn't get a medal or does. Look, she's in America. Here's what I know about this. She's in America. She's holding a bronze medal. I wouldn't give them back. Yeah, come and get it. Come and get it. Could you mail it back to us, please? No, I cannot do that. So if you missed this, she did her the floor routine, and they scored it, and she finished fourth by fractions of whatever. And so her coach appealed and said, actually, she should have gotten a higher score. And the judges were like, yeah, she should have gotten a higher score. So they put her in third. The other poor girl who did nothing to deserve this thinks she's celebrating. She won a bronze, and now she didn't win a bronze. So that's kind of crap for her, too. Jordan gets the bronze. They give it to her. She's on a plane. She's back home in America. And then over the weekend, they say, hang on a second. The Court for Arbitration in Sport, that sounds like a fun group of people, got together and ruled that Jordan's coach had 1 minute to submit the appeal after her floor routine, and she took 1 minute and 4 seconds to submit the appeal. Therefore, she is not the true bronze medal winner.
Where's the line, Bob?
We're going to get good usage out of where's the line, Bob. The line's at 1 minute, 104. So they said they asked her to give the medal back so they could give it to the other girl. So the U.S. has appealed this. They have found video evidence that the appeal was submitted at 47 seconds. Oh, yeah. The plot thickens here.
Uh-huh. 17-second discrepancy.
Big discrepancy. Big discrepancy. What I know is, if I'm sitting on my couch in the United States with a bronze medal and they say, can we please have it back? I know what the answer is.
Print another.
No. The answer is no. You can't. Yes! I mean, thank you for... we can just skip the entire segment here. Just give them both a medal.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what happened here.
They did great.
This is the problem with sports that aren't black and white, you know, scored on the court. I was messing up. Subjective or objective? It's a subjective sport. Who knows? We got a bunch of people. Boxing has this problem too. You remember Marlon the intern talking about the whole thing? Like they're in the tank for the people they like because they punch each other for a while and then somebody's like, you won.
Right.
Good work.
They're playing for points. The whole.
You can't do it.
Mm-mm.
You can't do it. So that's the problem with these sports in general. Specifically, just print two bronze medals, problem solved. You're welcome, America. You're welcome, world. More importantly, the Court for Arbitration in Sport. What do they do on a day-to-day?
Great question.
That's another thing we need to figure out here.
They enforce immediate review in all sports.
We'll get back to you on Tuesday. That's, this thing happened a week ago. We're arbitrating it.
They had to do their research. They had to find their video evidence.
Where's the line, Bob?
Where's the line, Bob?
Denny Hamlin after the NASCAR finish last night. Where's the line? Nobody knows where the line is. What I do know is, closing ceremony was last night, Tom Cruise represented L.A. Well, first off, so there was a string of L.A. representatives. Simone Biles was up first. Great choice. She came out wearing a walking boot, that's the correct way to play that. I don't care how injured she actually is. She was clearly playing through something. You want to milk that as much as humanly possible. Yeah, walking boot, absolutely the correct play. She gutted it out. She won her medals. It's a little bit like the Noah Lyles. Like, Noah Lyles wins the race. We find out he has COVID a couple weeks later when the Netflix documentary drops.
Mm-hmm.
He got bronze, so he gets rolled off in the wheelchair because we got to know right then.
2 days later, they're like, and he had a fever.
Noah had a weekend, by the way. Ant Edwards, star on the basketball team,
mm-hmm.
also reps Adidas, has his own signature shoe.
Okay.
Noah Lyles came at him, said, I'm an Olympic champion. how come I don't have a shoe and Aunt Edwards, who's never won crap, has a shoe?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Which I'm happy to break down for Noah Lyles, because we hear from you once every 4 years, and we see Aunt Edwards every night doing amazing basketball things. I have a broader take here, which is nobody should have shoes. There's too many people with shoes. Everybody got his signature shoe. Nobody wants to see it. Look, if you're not Michael Jordan, Kanye back in the day, that those are the people who get shoes. No, there are too many shoes. Everybody got a shoe. Caitlin Clark's gonna get a shoe. Good for Caitlin Clark. Nobody's gonna buy the shoes. There's too many shoes. There's too many shoes out there.
We're at shoe saturation.
If Noah Lyles gets a shoe, that's just more stuff for Payless Shoe Source to sell in a few years. Man, TJ Maxx, the shelves are full. We don't need a Noah Lyles shoe. We don't need that in 3 years. Oh, those are the Noah Lyles 2s. Yeah. Ann Edwards doesn't need a shoe either. He's a great basketball player. Doesn't need a shoe. Jordans, everything else. That's it. That's the shoe distinction. Everybody got a shoe now. And not everybody needs a shoe. That's my take. Closing ceremony. Simone Biles hands it off to Tom Cruise, who's standing on top of the stadium, jumps in, does his little Top Gun thing. Tom Cruise is 62. He looks rough.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My guy looks rough.
He's right. Been jumping out of a lot of planes.
He looks really rough. Rough 62. Also, the Scientology thing.
Yes.
We just overlooking it? What are you doing? I don't know. Tom goes to L.A. in the video. They hand it off. They have some Olympic legends. They have a skateboarding guy. Then the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing. Then Snoop and Dre's playing. Then we get Billie Eilish, which is great. We got somebody under 50. That's a positive development there. I got a soft spot for Dre, and obviously Snoop's America's hero. The Chili Peppers, who are indisputably great.
Yeah.
Also not aging fantastic.
Doesn't feel modern.
It doesn't feel
it's
super.
Not screaming 2028.
It really is. Like, good luck making it to 2028. Hope to see you there. Dre and Snoop will be a big part of the LA Olympics because that's iconic LA. I get the Chili Peppers are California in general, but felt like a reach to me.
Feels like we had a lot to choose from in LA.
It's LA.
Yeah, big city.
It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
A lot to choose from. Those opening ceremonies better slap. They better be good. Because either like the French, and I watch the opening ceremonies, I watch the closing ceremonies. Dude, so weird, so abstract, so modern. It just chef's kiss, very French. They're like, yes, we are welcoming the world, and we're just going to keep being French. And if you don't like it, you can keep on moving. At one point, they have an interpretive dance about the world without the Olympics. Fantastic. It didn't do anything for me. I'm sure the French were like, hey, I'm making our countrymen proud. This is great. This is an incredible closing ceremony. It is an artistic dance about the world without the Olympics. We all see the meaningfulness and specialness of this. LA's gotta bring it hard, though. That's all I'm saying in 24. We didn't get to the basketball, but we got to do the Commanders preseason because it's been half an hour. I still haven't got to it. We will get to basketball in hour number two because heck of a finish in both games. And good finish to the Olympics. LA's on notice. If they're just going to trot out everybody over 60 in Hollywood, that's not going to work. Bring it harder, bring it better. Commanders preseason was Saturday. It's time to get to the observations. We will do that after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Stubbs here, which means AWOD Radio must be not imminent, but close. We're 90 minutes away. AWOD's live from Capitol Ale House today, noon to 3. I'm sure he'll have thoughts on the Commanders, on the basketball game. I'm sure we'll crosstalk because it's what we do. Looking forward to all that. Stubb and Hazel both went to the Watermelon Festival. I've kind of sworn off the Watermelon Festival. It's hot. There's watermelon. Been there, done that. Maybe it makes me a jaded Richmonder. I love Carytown. I actually don't mind crowds. I like being in crowds. I just never... The Strawberry Festival, too. Tomato Festival. All of them. Now, the Greek Festival... you're maybe reeling me back in there. We're getting closer. But I like watermelon. I like Carytown. I don't like the Watermelon Festival. If that makes me a grumpy old man, that makes me a grumpy old man. Not the most unhinged thing that's happened during today's show. It's been a heck of a program. I promise we get to Commanders football. I want to get to Commanders football. Because the topic all last week, what does Jayden Daniels have to do to impress? What do you want to see from Jayden Daniels? And I said, just slow development, move the ball down the field, make some plays. And then first series, first throw, 40-yard dart to Deami Brown. Fantastic. It was a great play. Comes out later, wasn't the original play. Jayden Daniels switched to it at the line of scrimmage. I mean, even better. I've seen enough. I love it. I love the kid. Made up for a rough Thursday, right? We told you on Friday. It's a rough Thursday joint practices. So that made up for it there in one throw. They ran the ball a few times. Jayden Daniels ran it in, got a touchdown. It's one play. It's the preseason. I'm sure everybody will be completely rational about this and will not lose their minds over one play. Dan Orlovsky works for ESPN. ESPN's seen so much. They show sports all the time, 24/7. Surely Dan, of all people, will understand one throw in one preseason game is no reason for us to lose our minds.
Well, Jesus was perfect, and so was this throw. I mean, that thing is perfect. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hold your eyes. A little pressure off the right, but...
Dan Orlovsky film breakdown on Twitter. If you missed that, believe the quote was, Jesus was perfect, and so was that throw. I love it so much. This is the Commanders I know and love. This is the Washington football team I know and love. Any slightest hint of anything good, we're losing our minds.
It's time to raise hell.
Oh, we are raising some hail. Don't you worry about that. Jesus was perfect, and so was that throw. Deami Brown's back. Everybody's back. Fire it up. We're winning them all this year. 16-1. Probably rest the starters in the last one. Incredible. That's how you break down tape right there. I come on here every Monday in season. I do the tape breakdown. It's never been that good. I promise you, I've never done a tape breakdown that good. Dan Orlovsky at ESPN. Jesus was perfect, and so was that throw. What I double love about this is you've got the people who are all in on the Commanders, right? Follow it every day. Listen to me. Listen to Keim. Listen to Nikki. Listen to JP, all the people who are doing all the things. And they understand it was kind of a mixed bag in New York. It was a really rough Thursday, learning experience. And then you've got the national media, which they're not following joint practices. They're not following the day-to-day, minute-to-minute, snap-to-snap. They got one exposure to Jayden Daniels this weekend. It was him throwing a 40-yard dart to Deami Brown. The hype train nationally rolls on. The split is wild to me. Locally, look, everybody's tempered. Expectations tempered. We've been down this road before. We don't want to do this. We don't want to get too excited too early. And nationally, it's Jayden Daniels. He's the truth. He has come to save us. Hallelujah. We'll see. I think there's a lot of questions. Let's start with this. pass was to De'Ami Brown. I've seen enough De'Ami Brown. That's not where you want to put your eggs. That's not the correct basket. Great catch. If he could resurrect his career, that would be a huge benefit to the Commanders for sure. But if he's what we think he is, he's fine. He'll make some catches. He'll miss some catches. You've got Jahan Dotson. He's your receiver too right now. They got him playing in the fourth quarter. And tells you what, it tells you right there. It tells you something. There are some dudes, by the way, who are on the ropes. And you could see it because they were playing late in the game. Jahan Dotson, Fedarian Mathis, Jamin Davis. As my three, those are three bona fide Ron Rivera starters. They're out there playing in the second half of a preseason game. If you have a roster spot locked down, you are eating a hot dog in the second half of a preseason game. You are not anywhere near that field. The fact that they're out there playing tells you that's a message. The coaching staff, they can get you work anytime. They can run you in practice. They can run you after practice. They can run you in joint practices. They send you out there to get some work in the second half of a preseason game. It's not about getting work anymore. It's about sending a message. And the message is, whatever you think you are, you're not that. Not here. Not on this team. And those are three big names. Jahan Dotson, who will be an opening game starter. Whatever message they're sending, he will be a starter in week one. Fedarian Mathis will be on the team week one, defensive tackle. Jamin Davis. I don't know about Jamin Davis. Nobody knows about Jamin Davis. But he was a first-round draft pick very recently. All three of those guys playing late in the game, message sent from Dan Quinn. That message is, oh yeah, Dan Quinn's going to need to see some work. Got some people that, I'm a first-round draft pick, Dan Quinn. I don't care. Get in there. Third quarter preseason game. Go hit somebody. Get out there. What I liked, the Jaden Daniels throw was fantastic. I wasn't personally planning on coming in this morning and comparing him to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But yeah, look, ESPN sets the tone. We all just march in lockstep behind them. I love the throw. I love the touchdown run. I love that John Bates was in there getting dirty on the touchdown run. I think there's a place for him. I think we're going to see a lot of two tight end this year. And I think he got a little hint to that. Little hint to that yesterday. Now, everybody's running to credit Jaden Daniels. Great play, of course. Checks the coverage. This is not the kind of defense he will see when the season starts. These are vanilla defenses. Still love that he read it. Still love that he had the confidence to do it. Sam Hartman leaves with an ice bag on his right shoulder. That's not great. I like him as the backup quarterback. Not crucial. Marcus Mariota is the backup. I'm going to get pretty despondent if Marcus Mariota has to play serious time. We're going to bail on this. Tress Way, the punter, making a tackle. Let's go, Tress Way. Great play. Great moment in the game. Tress Way getting dirty, making a tackle on the punt.
Kickers are back.
Not field goal kickers, though, because the Commanders don't have one of those. They have two. Neither of them can make a field goal. That's a situation. You never know. Look, no offensive line. Jets didn't play any starters. Commanders didn't do anything. It was, I'll say it, total snoozer of a game on the whole. You know, we did the takeaways. We did them pretty quickly here. Bit of a snoozer of a game. Did anybody even know that game was happening? I got YouTube TV. Wasn't even listed. It was listed as paid programming on my YouTube TV on Saturday. The broadcast was fine. Look, I just get the sense we're marching into a pretty juiceless Commander season here. And I think it's funny that you would talk to a fan and they would say last week confirmed that it's a juiceless Commander season. Not a good enough roster to contend. Waiting to see how Jaden Daniels develops. And then the national perspective this morning. Woo, did you see that throw? Woo, buddy. Let's go. Jaden Daniels. Red hot. Washington Commanders. We'll dive more into that as the week goes on. And, of course, they are in Miami for joint practices this week. We'll get into that. In hour number two, I want to give you my fantasy football take, because we haven't talked fantasy football yet. Two quarterback league. It's the only way to go. But when we get back, we got to get to the bottom of some stuff, and it involves the George Mason men's basketball team, which was supposed to go to the Bahamas and got fire-fested, maybe? I don't know. Well, we're back after this. 910 The Fan, now 105.1.
This is FP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
I said in the previous segment, and stand by it, that I don't like the Watermelon Festival. Maybe I'm a grumpy old man. Derby Bill says, grumpy old man. All right. Sometimes you got to wear the L. Derby Bill says it. It's Watermelon Festival outdraws Ohio State football at the Horseshoe. A lot of people go. That's not a selling point for me. That's not a selling point on the watermelon. You know where else they have watermelon? Publix, Kroger. That Food Lion's got some. Costco. We love Costco around here. They have watermelons. You know where else you can hang out with people? Anywhere, anytime. Your neighborhood, your front yard, your backyard. Pretty much anywhere. A lot of good options. But since we mentioned Derby Bill, I love me some Derby Bill. Big horse racing news over the weekend. It was the they had the big races at Colonial Downs. Glenn Youngkin was there, and Glenn Youngkin made the big announcement.
Welcome to Colonial Downs.
Give me a pause on that. All right, rough start. Rough start. They he's coming in. This is part of the problem too when you have. He's coming in with it at 11. I don't know that the crowd followed behind. I don't know that the horse racing crowd is ready to go full rally with him. He came in at full rally, though. He's got good news, though. All right, fire it back up. He's got good news.
So on behalf of the First Lady and I have two big announcements today. The first, of course, is that starting this spring, we will have a spring meet, a spring racing season like none other. Thank you, Colonial Downs and Churchill Downs. Last year, we had the great privilege of announcing that three great stakes races were moving to Virginia. The Festival of Racing is off and well. This is the second year of it. But folks, today is a very, very special day. Because not only are we going to have a spring racing season, but I get to announce today that the Virginia Derby herself on March the 15th will now be a qualifying race for the Kentucky Derby.
We did it. We did it, Virginia. We are qualifying a horse for the Kentucky Derby. Let's go. Here's what I like. The crowd didn't meet him at his 11, but he said, no, this is an 11. This one goes to 11. We're sticking with it. We are sticking with the energy level. I don't care if you meet me there or not. I'm going to be hanging out there at 11, where this announcement belongs.
Yeah.
Colonial Downs, historically summer racing, will race in the spring and will add a new mega race where the winner of the race gets to go to the Kentucky Derby. Cool. I like it.
That's 11 news.
That's an 11. And you know what? If everybody there was eating their nachos and betting their boxed parlays, that's their loss.
Glenn, this is what he deserves.
Glenn knew. My guy Glenn, he knew. GY. He had something to say, and he was going to get it said, and he was going to get it said with enthusiasm because that's big news. Kentucky Derby qualifying race coming to Virginia. That'll be cool. I'm for it. And I don't know. I went out there last summer. I don't go out there a lot. I would imagine it's more pleasant out there in the spring. I don't know. There's a lot of the horse racing calendar and people do things at specific times and whatever, but I would imagine it's more pleasant out there in the spring. All right. Business handled. Let's dive into the conspiracy corner.
What's going on here?
Conspiracy theories.
A lot of conspiracy theories out there.
I don't know.
You don't know who you're messing with.
So let's get to it.
The George Mason University men's basketball team went to the Final Four, is in a league with VCU. At one point had a really good band rivalry with VCU. Here's the thing. Every 4 years, a college basketball team is allowed to do an overseas trip where you can go scrimmage international teams, go hang out. It's a fun thing for the kids. Last year, VCU sent its men's and women's teams to, I want to say, like Italy and Serbia, somewhere in that ballpark. It was in Europe somewhere. That's not germane to this. George Mason University's men's basketball team scheduled a trip to the Bahamas for this past weekend. They went to check in. The group, the Seven group, organized this trip. They go to check in, and the Seven group says, "We're so sorry, we forgot to book your tickets. We don't have tickets for you." Statement. It is with deep regret and sincere apologies that the Seven Group announces the cancellation of the George Mason University men's basketball team's foreign tour to the Bahamas. This unforeseen outcome is not only a profound disappointment to all involved, but a failure that we at the Seven Group take full accountability for. What happened? What happened here?
Don't know. Feels like I've booked an airplane flight before. Very straightforward.
Successfully?
Yeah. On the plane.
That's good. There's a lot of moving parts here. The parts where you go to the Bahamas, the parts where you play other teams, stay in a hotel. They got fire-fested here.
They did.
That stinks.
It really sucks.
And
it's the Bahamas.
And they're so WUSA TV in DC was there, like the parents of the kids on the team had booked their tickets separately.
Oh.
So now they're just going to the Bahamas.
Vacation time.
That stinks though. The George Mason men's basketball, it can't go to the Bahamas. They are directing all questions to the Seven Group. The Seven Group is pointing people back to the statement where they say they are very sorry. There's more here. That's why it's Conspiracy Corner. I don't know what happened here. Something happened here. The Seven Group has booked other international travel. We're sticking on this. We're not letting this go until we get answers. Hour number two on tap. We're going to give away some Squirrels tickets. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.